And welcome to the 17th episode of Rebel Force Alliance, a podcast about Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, the mobile game from EA Sports, CG, all the fun things. I am your host, as always, Edinar, and I'm joined today in this jam-packed episode by my wonderful co-host, Coleman. How are you doing today, Coleman?
Oh, man, we got some Imperials. We got all this kind of stuff to go. Let's go.
All right, yeah, we got a lot of stuff to go over, so we're going to get through this quick. Dave, how you doing?
I'm good. I knew how he was going to be so excited. We talked about this earlier, how excited Coleman was going to be today. This is his episode, everybody.
He's giddy like a schoolgirl.
Battles are here. He's so excited.
I'm on vacation this week, and pretty much I woke up, and immediately the first thing on my phone was this video of what's coming in a couple of days. So I was super excited.
Yeah, so we all know what Coleman's excited about. Me and Dave are excited, not even remotely close to Coleman. So we are going to dive right into this. We're not going to go over what we went through this week in Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. We're going to dive right in. So we'll start off, they released today that Territory Wars and Darkside Territory Battles are coming out. We're going to quick go through the Territory Wars, what we know so far. Because we went through them last week, but they will be starting. The first Territory War will be starting on November 28th. And that will start the 24-hour preview phase. And they'll be lasting 3 days, and we'll get them back-to-back. By that I mean is they released a schedule that will be going on through the end of the year, where we will be getting Darkside Territory Battle, Territory War, another Territory Battle, Territory War, another Territory Battle, and so on, repeating. So we're going to get two Territory Wars in between Territory Battles, but there will be a day in between as a down phase. One thing they are going to be doing leading up to the Territory War events is going to be a special Territory War event series. It's essentially a way for you to get used to Territory Wars. So there will be unique events depending on your level range. So 20 to 40, 20 to 39, 40 to 59, so on and so forth. To get you really practice.
It'll really help all the ones who didn't participate in open beta. So
like all of us.
Two of us.
Well, fine. Two of us. jerk ass. So that should be starting. Well, actually, it says November 21st. Tonight is when it's supposed to be starting. So look for it on your phones. So all that stuff. We won't go into Territory Wars, like I said, until the next episode, because then we'll actually get hands-on experience with it, and we'll be able to go more into detail when we don't have a crap load of stuff to go into. So,
on a side note, the little icon on my phone changed. Instead of Yoda Vader, it's now Rey and Kylo.
Yes, Rey with a lightsaber.
I just saw that.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Yep, that was one of the updates. It is the largest update of the year. And I actually had to manually go in and update my app through the iTunes store. It didn't update automatically. So we have that, but the meat of our thing is going to be the territory battles, the dark side territory battles, and the three new characters. So I guess we'll get off right away with dark side territory battles called the Imperial Invasion, renamed to Rebel Assault. So, with the release of the Imperial Retaliation, Hoth, so the dark side version of the territory battle, the light side is named Rebel Assault, but the dark side is Imperial Retaliation. They did that so we can clearly know which part of the collection is required. I feel you would know that as soon as you log in. And see, oh, I have to platoon Biggs, or oh, I have to platoon.
You give people a lot of credit there with assumptions of what people would or wouldn't think.
All right, fair enough. I'll give that to you. So that will be starting, and that is starting in 2 days. So it will be starting on November 23rd. Coleman, question for you. Let's see if you know this.
Go. Can I make one little side remark first?
I guess.
I'm going through all the new update from what can be seen so far, and it looks clean.
Okay. Like, clean how? Just the way they broke it down?
You open up challenges, and it looks a lot cleaner.
Okay.
And that's I'm just going through, looking at everything, seeing what changed, what not.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They did. They, it does look nicer. Yeah. It's weird. It sounded weird when he said that, but I know what he means when you look at it. The challenges thing does look nicer. They, zoomed out.
Oh, yeah, they did. You don't accidentally click on the Plo Koon-looking guy.
Yeah, it looks really nice now.
Yeah, that's... Wow. Yeah, no, that's a good point. Okay. So, are the stores redone in this?
They're not. That comes probably the 20th or tomorrow, I believe.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Okay.
When the big version update happens.
Right, yeah. Right.
So, Coleman, here's the question for you. So Darkside Territory Bridal start in 2 days on the 23rd.
Yes.
What is November 23rd?
It is an American holiday, and I am proud of it. It is this time to start the Imperial Retaliation.
Okay. I feel so we're doing an Imperial Retaliation / invasion on Thanksgiving. Does anybody else see the weird part of this?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, but you mean just because of, how we stole the country from the Americans?
So the dark side is invading Hoth. Yeah. We kind of invaded America. I'm seeing a connection here. America, secretly the dark side.
No, certainly there's a weird, I guess you could look at it that way. I think the bigger problem is just,
it's a holiday.
Yeah, they could have just waited till Monday to start it. You know, give people a couple days off for the holidays. It's a huge travel holiday, the travel holiday of the year. Airports are crazy. People are on the road. Mm-hmm. You're basically inviting tons of husbands and or wives that play this game to have their significant other, who may or may not play, want to stab them because they're trying to do their dark side territory battles over the holiday weekend where they're with family. Yeah. So I think quality of life would have been better if they just waited till Monday. I know they're super excited to get out the content, but it would have been better served to wait till the holiday's over, but it is what it is at this point. So.
People in America, don't swag and drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't swag a gun and drive.
No swag a good driving, none.
All right, so I love literally 99% of what was announced today, except for this. Except for that it's released on Thanksgiving. I spend Thanksgiving with my family. I, hang out with them all day. I don't want to be okay, Guild, what platoons need to be filled? Hold on, I need to get some mashed potatoes and gravy.
Yeah.
Or I need some more pineapple stuffed turkey.
Right? Two-star characters are going to be needed, so at the very least, it'll be easy, the easiest day. But the thing is the holiday, lasts for the whole weekend. People are traveling with family, they're out of town, they're out of state, they're out of country in some instances, and it's just, I think it's just a poor choice of launch time for it. But it just goes to show you, they're going to do this over Christmas, too. So just be prepared. No holiday is safe. They will have people playing this game every day of the year for as many hours as possible.
The thing that worries me is, what if something goes wrong? Because it's not CG is an American company. They're located in America. Most of the employees do not work Thursday and Friday. What happens if something goes wrong? That's the risk you run. They won't be able to fix it.
Nothing has ever gone wrong before. Nothing. Yeah.
Nothing has ever gone wrong.
No. It's a guarantee of perfect launch.
Yeah.
That's why they had... Anyway, yeah.
But I just wanted to get that out there, because this is the one thing that annoyed me most about this. Is just... It happened. If it would have happened, if they would have even released it on Friday, I would have been like, all right, that's cool. Day after Thanksgiving, I'm happy.
Yeah.
And on a side note, you know, it doesn't really, this part doesn't really concern me because I'm across the world from where my family is, so.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have your pineapple stuffed turkey? Pineapple stuffed turkey with ahi tuna?
Ahi tuna, probably, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. But, all right, let's dive into the actual territory battle now that we're done talking about that it's released on a holiday. So the Dark Side of Hoth arrived. They're more open about this than they were the previous one from the get-go. So they announced the new Hoth hero units required for special missions. So if you take the light side version, you're talking Hoth Rebel Soldier, Hoth Rebel Scout, Commander Luke Skywalker, those special combat missions or special missions that required them. The dark side versions are going to be Colonel Stark, Imperial Probe Droid, who we will both go over, General Veers, Snowtrooper, and Vader.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, most people have, I mean, 90% of people have Vader. A large chunk have Snowtrooper, and a large chunk have Veers, at least at like 4 stars.
Yeah, if you don't have Veers, I highly suggest you use some of these double drop days coming up to try to grab a few of his shards. And don't be afraid to kind of throw that Zeta in there for his unique.
I'm almost to 3 Zetas. I've been holding off on him.
Yeah, he's going to be an important one that people are going to want to do, especially as you'll get into it, that the troopers are a required team for this. So, like, not only is Veers a required tune, but then the team he leads is required, you know, the same way, like, Phoenix or...
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Rebels are required.
Now, the two that are troublesome in this are going to be Colonel Stark and Imperial Probe Droid, because as of this podcast, there's no way to get them. So they're required for the special missions, but we can't actually get them.
Similar to, you know, Cholo and Rolo.
Well, mm-hmm. Cholo you can farm.
Yeah, Cholo you can
farm. No, but you couldn't. Yeah, but he wasn't. He hit the table right before they started. So, like, you didn't have him immediately, right?
No, you have to do an annoying farm, and then they gave you a bunch of shards. And,
Which one of them is going to be able to drop, and you're going to be able to store farm him, kind of. So.
Which one are you going to be able to store farm?
Colonel Stark.
Oh, Yark. Okay.
Yeah. Guild shipments.
Stark and guild shipments.
Yeah. Is guild shipments kind of become the new... All right, let's just dump characters here?
Maybe? The thing with guild shipments is it's like, it doesn't refresh as much, right? Or does it refresh every 6 hours now?
It refreshes every 6 hours. It's just, you can only get currency every 5 days.
Yeah, which with the release of Territory Wars, they were doing a store completely. So
all of them apparently. So that could be. Yeah, hopefully. I'm feeling they might. Well, we'll get to that too. But I feel like they might actually be adding more like characters too. Maybe making some of the hard, maybe some of the older hard node only characters. Maybe making some of them now easily farmable because you're still going to have your characters like Krennic and stuff like that that are probably going to remain as you can only get them through their hard node, short trooper, things like that.
Yeah. I had a random thought. What if, I'd be happy if they pulled some of the people out of Guild Store and threw them into, like, Galactic War Store and Cantina Store.
Yeah, like, what's the point of having Dengar in the Guild Store? Like, he's not good. Throw him in Galactic War nodes and Galactic War Shop.
Yeah. Well, I think they're going to bring some characters. I think what they're likely to do more, though, than move characters from the stores they're in is take some characters off of hard node only. And that may be characters that, at this point, because there's other hard node. There's plenty of hard node only farms that are, like, going to eat away at people, like some of the ones they've added over the last, like, 4 or 5 months. So maybe some of the original ones they could move out of there. And make it a little easier on people. Yeah,
well,
or
if you, I mean, if you look at it, hard node only farms is a vast majority dark side only. Like, a vast majority of hard node only farms are dark side characters.
I'll give that to you.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, when you look at it, like, they have to do something about these hard node farms only for dark side characters if they're going to be requiring them all. Like, if you, I mean, you're looking at Krennic.
Yeah, because it bottlenecks it, like, way too much if they're all hard mode only, because people, like, inevitably, like, I only work on two hard node characters at a time. Yeah. Because I try to leave energy for gear if I can, so.
But, so moving on past those will be the six or five required characters for special missions. So start working on them now, start gearing them up. So some combat missions will require Empire, Imperial Trooper, and Bounty Hunter factions. This is
Bounty Hunty. I like it.
Bounty Hunty.
I think you found the name of the podcast right there.
Yeah, I did. So similar to the Phoenix Squad, Rogue One, Rebel only.
Yeah.
This is basically, you can only do a combat mission using all these teams.
Yep. And these are pretty much the ones that, like, in my mind I had thought they were going to choose.
I thought Night Sisters would be one of them.
Night Sisters didn't make sense from a canon perspective. That's the only reason why I thought that. Yeah.
True. Bounty Hunter is probably the most troublesome, because Bounty Hunters, by and large, besides, what, Boba and IG?
I was going to say Boba and Cad.
Either way, most bounty hunters outside of Boba are pretty much useless.
They are useless, but they're all relatively easily farmable if you don't already have them.
They are. They're easy to gear.
Well, not that.
I have my handy dandy list I made that I can go through really quickly.
Okay.
Oh yeah, please do.
So for your bounty hunters, so your musts are, and this is a little guide. Now, this is built based on the question that I asked myself, or that someone would ask: how do I get a relatively decent team of these characters the quickest? This is not a list of, like, which ones of these are most important. We can also talk about that too. And I'm sure, Coleman, you've got personal trooper experience, so you're probably best to speak about that. But so from a bounty hunter perspective, you're going to need Boba, I think, in IG-88 for sure. Boba's the bounty hunter lead. His lead is specifically designed for bounty hunters in many ways, as well as that critical damage thing is great in helping characters who don't do a ton of damage, or they do kind of okay damage outside of him in 88. So you're going to have Boba in IG-88. The good thing is, I feel like a lot of people probably do, because of the need from a, because they're both scoundrels, and because of the credit heist, a lot of people worked on those characters and a lot of people have worked on droids. So they should be fine there. Boba's a really difficult gear, but I feel like a lot of people have already invested in him. Once you get past that, Zam is super easy to gear 11, and certainly she needs a lot of, like, the various Rancor gear, but if you're someone who's in a higher level guild, or at least in a decent guild, and you've been doing the Rancor forever, you likely have at least some of that stuff just kind of waiting around. So she really only needs two carbs, one of which comes with a stun gun, and one cuff to get to gear 11. That's really not that bad when you consider everything. Cad Bane is easy to gear 10. He needs some syringes, so if you're short on syringes, it might be difficult, but he needs some syringes and only needs one cuff, does not need any Carbontes to get to gear 10. Then Greedo and Dengar suck. They're the worst. So Greedo needs a ton of cuffs. Dengar needs a ton of Carbontes. They're both pretty shitty characters in their current forms until we get a bounty hunter rework. I wouldn't suggest going much further than maybe one of them to gear 8 and then hoping that's enough. But I do think that, like, a Boba and an IG at gear 11, Zam at gear 11, Cad at gear 10, and then and whoever you want to choose between Greedo and Dengar at, like, a gear 8 is likely to be enough.
Mind if I put my two cents in real fast?
Oh, totally.
So I have my Dengar sitting at gear 7, he's 7 star. So and right now he's requiring two Carbontes to get to gear 8.
Nope.
So that puts a little bit of perspective into it. And Greedo, he works a lot better with the Boba Fett lead.
He
with
does.
The thermal detonators and everything like that. So, and, if anything, I would probably go after Greedo. He's a little bit easier to get. He's in the...
Oh, yeah, he's way store. Easier. That's what I was just going to point out. Greedo, yeah, you get an arena.
I think he's easier to Gear 8, too. I think if you're using if we're using Gear 8 as that benchmark, I think he's slightly easier to Gear 8 than Dingan. Certainly, the Carbonis is the big thing, right? Because people don't want to use those.
That's the deciding factor. Is this guy worth it or not? Carbonis worthy? Like, no.
So that's, I mean, you're looking at the Bulba, IG, Cad Bane, Zam are the four you really want.
Mm-hmm.
And your devil's choice between Dengar and Greedo, unless they release another one.
Right.
Right, yeah. For now, I think that's the way people should go. It looks like it's not too terrible of an investment to get these guys up rather quickly. So I doubt that they're going to be, like, the faction they choose for...
Hopefully they're not going to be Rogue One.
Yeah, my guess is they're actually going to be similar to, like, where... My guess would be that they'll be used similarly to where, like, you have Phoenix, so that you'll need them six stars. I think the Troopers are going to be the one that they're going to ask you to have at 7 stars.
I can definitely see that.
Yeah, so yeah, speaking of that, speaking of Troopers...
Yeah.
Let's go on to that team.
Okay, so Troopers. So, So the must-have here, and I mean, you can make an argument that there are multiple must-haves here, and I know that Coleman has a strong feeling on some of them. But when you really think about it, like, the must-have is probably Veers, because you have to have him not only the character, but he helps lead the team in general. So I didn't put Stark in here only because I left him out for right now, because we'll talk about him later. But Veers is actually a relatively easy gear. I'm sure you can vouch for that, Coleman.
Yeah, he's not bad at all.
He only needs 2 cuffs to get to gear 11. He does need a lot of Rancor gear. He needs 3 Nubians and 3 Scanners. But if you've got Rancor gear decently saved up, he's certainly someone you're going to want to invest into gear 11. He didn't even look that bad to get to gear 12. He does need one of those 50-piece biotechs that we rarely ever seem to have. But outside of that, he wasn't too bad. So definitely go for him. The second easiest trooper to gear is Stormtrooper. Stormtrooper is also ridiculously easy to gear. He needs a biotech and a carb to get straight to gear 11.
Really vital. And the thing to keep in mind with all these troopers is that they're unique, where they spread around stat boosters, is that you don't need Veers like Phoenix. You can just throw them in with each other, and they boost each other up.
Right, totally. But Veers is a good character, so I would still argue he's worth having just because of the because he's easy to gear.
Yeah, If you want to throw like 2 into a random Empire team, a random team for Dark Side territory battles, because you're gonna need 5 for one squad, so just putting it out there.
Totally. So Storm is the second easiest, and then after that, it's tough. I think I guess you could say that. Magma Trooper is the next one that's easiest. And it looked like he just needed about a carb and a cuff to get to gear 10. And I know he's super valuable in that team. And then you get to some difficult things. So Death Trooper wasn't the worst gear in the world from what it looked like, but he's a hard farm. Obviously he's on a 16 energy node in Cantina. So I'm sure there'll be packs to maybe buy some of his shards, but he is a very difficult farm, and not everybody has him. Snow and Shore Trooper are very difficult gears. Shore Trooper needs, I think, 400 Carbontes to get to finish him. He's obviously incredibly important, and I think you could probably get away with a well-modded Shore Trooper at a lower gear level, potentially, depending on how hard these territory battles is, so it might be able to save you a couple of Carbontes. You're going to likely need him in the team, because I know his crit immunity and his heal's super important. And Snow Trooper does a ton of damage. He's a great character, great character, but needs...
Even on both basic and AoE, so is special.
This yeah, just a like a ton of
damage.
Phenomenal character, but does need 400 cuffs to finish. So, but with just, I think it's just 1 cuff and 1 carb, you can get Snow to gear 9. So, In the interim, if you're thinking about what the minimal investment is to get these troopers at least to the point with where they might be decent enough to get you through a battle, the investment still on the trooper side isn't that bad. I think the hard part with the troopers is the farms, more so than the bounty hunters. From a gear perspective, though, these two teams, you can get some of the characters to gear 11 and some of the characters to gear 10 relatively easily. Obviously, the finished Snow Trooper and Shore Trooper and Death Trooper to a degree does require some significant farming of gear and or purchasing, I guess, of gear. But people are freaking out about needing to have these two teams, and I would want everyone to just take a deep breath, look at their gear requirements. I mean, I went through them super quick there, but it's not that bad. You can always just go back
and rewind.
Totally. Yep. I think you can have a decent bounty hunter team very quickly. I mean, within a week or two, from a gear perspective, and the same thing with the troopers. So, like, within a month, you could likely have a pretty decent bounty hunter and a trooper team. So, like, by the third Dark Side Territory battle, you'll probably have decent teams, assuming you can get the farms done. Don't freak out, people. Again, that was just kind of quick going through their gear and who to maybe focus on.
Do you mind if I do like a from a team standpoint where the vital ones for making the trooper team?
That is all you because they're your specialty, man.
Okay, so the gear, not thinking about gear, but importance in the roster in the team. Obviously, General Beers is going to be first, like make him kind of a priority. Death Trooper, absolutely vital, especially since all your opponents are going to be rebels. He can double tap. And if it's a debuff and use Terminate, it's an automatic crit, so it's going to be critting for about anywhere from 25 to 33k. So it's going to hit pretty decently. And it's going to apply death marks, and by then, it's just off to the races. After that, probably Snow Trooper, then Storm Trooper, then Magma Trooper. Shore Trooper, you can leave out of the team, save him for another Empire team that's going to need it, because these guys can... they'll heal themselves automatically as soon as you get that Beer Zeta.
Okay. One thing I will add...
I think that's super helpful for people with the Shore Trooper thing, because a lot of people...
You're breaking up a little bit. I can't...
A lot of people aren't going to have Shore Troopers, so that's good. That's valuable.
You
don't need him more to make the Troopers good.
Yeah. One thing I will add to this is... if there were two that I would concentrate on doing, it would be Veers and Snow Trooper. And the only reason I say that is because they are also both required for the special missions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From a Shard perspective.
Yeah, but Snow Trooper is relatively easy to get, you know.
Yeah, I'm just saying, teams. Like, if you're looking for bang for your buck for Dark Side Territory battles, Veers and Snow Trooper both are required for special missions. And are required for Imperial Trooper missions. So you're going to be killing two birds with one stone by doing both of them.
Very true. Very, very true.
So, like, if you're looking at, all right, I need to do the best I can right away, and then I can round it out later on, those would be, like, my top two characters probably to work on in all of Dark Side Territory battles. From the information we have. Because they're the only two that are specific to a small group of faction that is also required for the special missions. So that's just my two cents, but we'll move on. We could go over Empire, but Empire is the Dark Side Rebels. There's a bunch of them. We're getting more. There's going to be all sorts of teams. We're not going to go through all of them. So we have that. So we'll skip that. A couple of other things about the Dark Side Territory battles is they announced that the first three platoons, or first three phases, the platoons are going to be set in stone. So they have them, they actually have them listed who's going to be required for each one so you can plan things out better. It's just to make life easier for all of us. I'm happy they did it. I can't see anybody who would be upset about it.
Yep.
So, and then the two big things on this is they added a territory so that a total of 48 stars can be obtained. Now, I don't think they added an extra territory, like it's not seven phases, but what we found by looking at the platoon requirements is they added an extra territory in phase one. So instead of it just being one territory, it's going to be two territories. Which is where you would get the extra 3 stars. So, we got that going for us. And then lastly, they dropped the combat and special mission encounters from 6 waves to 4 waves to make things quicker for us. So that's a huge change. I love that change.
Yep, I figure you would. A lot of people are going to love it. Like, don't complain about it. It's a lot less time you're going to spend on this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that is the Darkseid Territory battles. Now, with coming with new Darkseid Territory battles, we are also getting new characters to go along with these Darkseid Territory battles. You heard us talk about two of them already, not the third one. But the 3 new characters are going to be the Imperial Probe Droid, which, if you've ever done Territory battle, you know is the one that just annoys the hell out of you. And,
like, if you have three or four, they wipe your team. Yeah.
Like, is he going to explode on me, or is he going to like put a wicked debuff on me? I don't know what he's doing.
I'm scared. Just like if he targetizes me, I'm like, oh god, I need to get that off me immediately.
Oh god. So we have the Imperial Probe Droid, the formidable. Okay, first off. All right, so the Colonel Stark. I don't know if you can call him formidable, because he was the AT-AT driver of the one that Luke took out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's formidable, but he lost right
formidably
away.
Formidably dead.
Yeah, formidably lost. And then the fearsome Hoth Predator, the Wampa. Or, as everyone's going to call him, the Abominable Snowman.
From Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yes. So we have the Wampa, which I believe is the first animal in the game. Playable character animal.
Is he?
I think he is.
I thought there was another one.
But, almost positive he is. So we have those...
There'll be another animal soon, don't worry.
Okay.
They'll create a beast category.
Well, yeah, no.
Maybe like a small furry creature, potentially. Like,
I swear to God, I will reach through this phone and reach through this Skype call and strangle both of you if you mention the P word.
The Ewoks.
Could you imagine this? Think about it. We could have a Wampa, a Lothal Wolf, Porg. And then...
I hate you. Porgs are the worst things ever.
We're still getting a Porg.
If we get a Porg, I'm going to get that thing to 7 stars and leave it at level 1 with no gear. And every time I have to register for any raid, that is going to be the character I send in to mercilessly get slaughtered. And I will enjoy it.
Oh, man. The Porg,
that's what I do to the Ewoks, so I understand.
No, I think Ewoks have a super high level of intelligence, unlike the Wampa. So I do think the Wampa is probably the first official total animal because Ewoks don't count; they're too smart. All
right, so we're gonna go through each one of them. I just want to say real quick where we can get them. So the Wampa is going to be in the Guild Events store. The Imperial Probe Droid will be in the Imperial Retaliation Special Mission. Limited packs and bundles, a.k.a. Imperial Probe Droid is the new Rolo. And then Colonel Stark will be in the guild store, and then limited time packs and bundles. So that's where they will be. I will go over, first, we're going to go over Wampa Sampa. The Wampa Sampa. The Wampa. So this guy, I love him. I'm just going to read through all the abilities, and then we're going to talk about him. So his basic ability...
Very odd ad, but very, very lovely. Very good.
Yes. So his basic ability is Womp. Deal physical damage to target enemy and inflict damage over time for 2 turns. If the target was exposed or staggered, stun them for 1 turn. If target was debuffed, gain 20% turn meter. If Wampa isn't debuffed, gain 20% turn meter. This attack can't be evaded. This attack has 100% offense against rebel targets. Alright. His first special, Icebreaker. Dispel all debuffs on Wampa, deal physical damage to all enemies, and daze them for 2 turns. Wampa gains protection up until the next time this ability is used, which can't be dispelled or prevented. That's on a 5-turn cooldown. Next special is Furious Foe, and that is inflict healing immunity on all enemies for 2 turns, which can't be evaded. Wampa gains 35% accuracy, 35% crit chance, and 35% offense, stacking for the rest of the encounter. Wampa gains 50% turn meter for each defeated ally and active enemy. This ability starts on cooldown for a cooldown of 4. His first unique is Howling Rage, and that says while Wampa has protection up, it has, I love how they call it it, and not like he or she, it's just it. It has 20% counter chance, 50% offense, and 50% tenacity. And his second unique is Cornered Beast. Wampa has plus 50% counter chance. Wampa has plus 10% counter chance, plus 5% health steal, and plus 5% offense for each damage over time effect on each enemy. Okay.
It wants to eat some Commander Luke.
Like, this is a CLS counter.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep. No matter how you look at it, it's going to eat Commander Luke.
Yeah. I mean, a daze.
A mass daze.
Yeah, yeah, a mass daze.
A mass healing immunity.
Stacking offense. Like the amount of offense that this guy can stack, or I guess it could be a female, can stack, and it can stack,
is
ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just absolutely ridiculous. In the little GIF videos,
it's already hitting on a non-crit, like, close to 20,000.
Uh-huh. And it's, I mean, when it's working properly, he has 80% counter chance on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Minimum 80. Or,
like, well, 100. Percent.
Yeah, it's actually 100.
Oh, it is 100? With
If you put him, say, on like a, say you put him with like Zader. Like a Zader, yeah, just like, he's going to have 25% health steal and plus 25% offense the entire time.
Yeah.
So he's, good luck.
The protection up is going to be huge, because he gets it no matter what. You have to dispel the protection up from him. Otherwise, he will have the 50% offense and 50%...
You can't dispel it.
You can't?
No, you can't dispel it.
It's locked.
Oh, God. So
you have to burn through it. You can't dispel it.
So, I mean, I guess what is the point of his unique?
What do you mean?
So while Wampa has protection up, it has plus 20% counter, plus 50 offense, plus 50 tenacity.
Yeah.
But he has protection up for 5 turns.
Yeah.
But the point is that you have all those things the whole time.
Yeah, couldn't they just remove the while Wampa has protection up and just make his unique as he has 20% counter chance, 50% offense, and 50% tenacity?
Well, no, because you can burn through. You could burn through the protection up. You could burn through it and it would go away. But, like, you have to burn through it first.
Yeah, but you gotta think every time. And every time he's countering, he's getting protection up.
Yeah. And he has a chance to gain 40% turn meter on his basic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the protection up's just through his special, though. He wouldn't get it back through the counter.
I thought it was the basic.
Yeah, the basic is the damage over time.
Yeah, damage over time, and if they're debuffed, he gains 20%.
Them if they're exposed or staggered. He works really well, weirdly, with like random Empire characters. Like he's certainly anyone that Krennic staggers, right?
Krennic staggers, and then
he works really well with. We'll get into Stark, but Stark has a mass stagger.
Mm-hmm. So we,
I mean, I'm looking at this. Ideas. I'm looking at this with a Zader team.
No, he's, yeah. That, I mean,
that's the most common one.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, because, I mean, yeah. The stacking health steal and offense, on depending on damage over time.
You can put him with a Gamoran guard.
Yeah. Now, what's smart of them is he has no tag. He's just Darkseid. If they would have made him Empire, it would have been broken. If they would have made him a faction, he would have been ridiculous.
Yep.
By not giving him any synergy, it was a smart thing to do.
Yeah, he's really good. Like he's really good.
I can't find one thing wrong with this character. Yeah,
like, the only thing I could possibly say is, like everyone else has said, I gotta see his stats.
Yeah, he's likely to be like mega slow. I could hope. Yeah, I could see him being super slow and the type of character that you're just gonna want to whether it's like you're going to want to just fracture him so you don't have to worry about him, or what, you can try to keep him stunned or something like that. Totally could be the case, but he's going to counter. So you're going to have to make sure you stun him, or he's going to start wreaking havoc. And he hits so hard, so hard. Like you said, you just mentioned like the 20K non-crits, but like, yeah. And I think in some of the videos that we saw the other day, he was critting for like 50, 60K on a basic.
And it's like, I was watching it on my new TV. I'm like, oh my god, that's horrible. That's horrifying. Actually, I love it.
Yeah, it's really, for someone who's totally tired of it and has run CLS since the moment he came out, I'm ready for something different. And I'm very excited about the prospects that really all these characters bring. But Wampa seems just like super fun for some reason.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, from someone who's hated CLS since day one, I'm ready. God. Let's do it.
Attack has 100% offense against rebel targets. That is music to my ears.
Yep.
So, yep. So that's the Wampa Stampa. We'll move on to the next one. Dave, I think you're going to take us through the next one.
Colonel Stark, yes. The commander of the Blizzard IV. That's serving under General Veers at the Battle of Hoth. Again, he's obtainable in guild shipments. So, he's got three moves and a unique. His tags. He's got the Empire tag, obviously. Imperial Trooper tag. So he's another trooper being added to that bunch, as we talked about earlier. So he makes, I think now it's the seventh to get the trooper tag. Mm-hmm. And then he's a support character. So his basic debilitating shot is deal physical damage to target enemy and inflict defense down for two turns. If the target was already debuffed, deal double damage. And then with Empire teams, right? The other team's almost always debuffed, so he'll probably constantly be doing double damage on that, so that's good. So then his first special, scan all wavelengths. Final text is Empire allies gain critical chance up and critical damage up for three turns. Stark gains 5% turn meter for each Empire ally and each Rebel enemy. So certainly in territory battles, that's going to be like 50% turn meter. And then
even in the meta, that's huge.
Cooldown of 3. Yeah, current meta, that's a very good move. So cooldown of 3 on that one. And then his second special, this is, I think most have agreed this is his best move. So it's the Blizzard IV Barrage. Deal physical damage to all enemies with a 50% chance to stagger them. Dispel all buffs on the primary target. For each active Imperial Trooper ally, deal 10% more damage and reduce this ability by 1. Reduce the cooldown of this ability by 1. But it doesn't say on here what the cooldown is.
It may be high. Oh, it is 8?
So that's essentially good. 3. Yeah, so that's good. Obviously, they want you to use him with troopers. Good move, obviously, that mass stagger, that's the first of its kind in the game, and then just another dispel, second, which is always good. Who else has a mass stagger?
Krennic.
Oh, is his mass? Okay, cool. So that's good. And then his unique, Imperial Intelligence, at the end of his turn, Stark recovers 7% health and 3% protection, and removes 1% turn meter from all enemies for each active Empire ally, doubled for Imperial Trooper allies. While Stark is active, Imperial trooper allies have plus 50 armor penetration.
Ow.
So he looks like, in your list of necessary trooper characters, he might start climbing that list pretty quickly.
Yeah. Pretty dang quickly.
He's certainly obviously designed with the territory battles in mind, and particularly Imperial troopers in mind. But he's a pretty good character. I mean, I wouldn't say he's like game breaking or anything like that. It's probably why he's the one that we're getting that's easily farmable, but he's got an interesting toolkit, buffs his allies. There's really everything you'd want to support character to do, which is nice. So,
yeah. The only knock I might have is his basic is kind of. I'm not a fan of a defense down. I just am not.
No,
I don't like that ability. So, other than that, yeah, he's a good support, but I don't know if he'd crack an Imperial squad for a trooper squad for me.
You kind of got to wait to see how easy he is to gear, potentially. Maybe he's an easy gear. Maybe he's super fast. You know, who knows?
I was kind of thinking for a tank route, that armor penetration is going to help out a lot.
Yeah. But I think a lot of the people are...
a lot harder.
A lot of people are past the point of, okay, let's think of the heroic AT team and be like, okay, because now we have CLS. Well, CLS dominates almost every phase.
Yeah.
And BB-8.
So, like, I mean, somebody today I saw, I think, what, soloed the heroic AAT? Something like that. They did 30-some-odd million damage with one team.
Like, 33 million.
33 million with one team.
Yeah. It's with the Akbar CLS. Thrawn, BB-8, and Han. Yeah.
I think it's two, and
you clear the rest.
Yeah. Heroic AT in 6 months will be in Rancor territory. So I mean, just
grab Simon tickets for Rancor raids now.
Yep.
You know what's cool though, and I'm curious your thoughts on this, Coleman. So if Krennic has a mass stagger and Stark has a mass stagger, like, that could be pretty powerful back to back.
Mm-hmm. Because you're just re-inflicting stagger on everybody and just keep their turn meters at zero.
Yeah, like that seems like it could be...
Mm-hmm.
It could be if you time it right.
Right, yeah.
If you use Starks, then you use Krennics, and then you have one of the AoE, one of the other AoEs like Fears or Death Trooper go in and toss an AoE in there.
Right. And he's got some survivability, too. I mean...
Mm-hmm.
7% health and 3% protection.
Not to mention, for everyone that dies, Fears are going to just up that protection more and more.
Yeah.
Heal that protection.
Okay.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
So
I can't wait to play around with him.
Yeah, he's going to he'll be interesting.
He looks like he'll be fun. He looks like he'll be fun for sure.
Yeah. So let's move on to the everyone's favorite little droid, little.
Mm-hmm.
Bastard. Uh-huh. The Imperial probe droid. Coleman, you are all over this one, so I'll let you take this.
I've been waiting for them. I've been hoping. I asked and asked a little bit when I first saw him. Imperial probe droid. What we all been hating in light side territory battles, but really, really good. So, Imperial probe droid's first basic ability... Precision Blasters. The final text will read, deal physical damage to target enemy with an 80% chance to expose them for 2 turns. Okay. Cool. Now, his first special detect, which is great, it reads, dispel all buffs on enemies with a 75% chance to inflict target lock for 2 turns, then remove 5% turn meter from target locked enemies. This attack cannot be evaded. So those debuffs are going away.
Uh-huh. Oh.
Now, target lock is kind of interesting. Because it's a new debuff that's kind of being introduced. And essentially, this means you're going to get target locked, and I think it's like a buff immunity almost.
Yeah.
You can't gain any more buffs as long as you have it, but it can be dispelled. So that's the thing. If you you're probably not going to gain tenacity up if you use if you dispel General Kenobi because it's new. So it's not the opposite of anything yet.
Yeah. Yeah. You can clear through it with like a Rex or something, but yeah. And 20 it's minus 25% evasion too, right?
When I think that's I did that off memory, so. Okay. The second special, self-destruct. A final text reads: Imperial probe droid instantly defeats itself and cannot be revived. It deals massive damage to target enemy. Deal physical damage to enemies equal to 30% of their max health. Expose all target locked enemies for 2 turns. This attack cannot be evaded. While Imperial probe droid has full health or has no active allies, this ability cannot be activated. Cooldown of this ability is set to 1, and it cannot be reduced. So that means your Nihilus, your Death Trooper is not going to be able to reduce it any further.
Yep.
It's set to 1 until he until his health bar starts moving. It's not going to go anywhere. But it's also very painful because if you use an Emperor Palpatine in your team and he just uses his little special, that eliminates full health right there and it's off to the races. One person on the other team's dead, or even if probably Han Solo were to pick him out and just try to pick him off real fast, Thrawn's just going to go, hey, your turn.
Yeah, how do you like dealing with a Kenobi Zeris team when Zeris is dead before she can even go?
Yep. So I love it.
Yeah, it does create a conundrum on how you want to face these teams. Mm-hmm. It's very good. Very good character.
Yeah. So I'm thinking if you put Wampa and Imperial Probe Droid in there, you're gonna have a hard time picking out who to fracture.
Yeah. Oh, now you do still have a unique left too.
I do.
Yeah.
So this unique is called Imperial Logistics. And the final text of its unique reads, Imperial probe droid has plus 50% max health. At the end of each droid ally, at the end of each, or in, I guess the way it's worded is weird. At the end of each droid ally turn, at the end of each Imperial ally turn, and at the end of each rebel enemy turn, Imperial probe droid gains 3% turn meter. While Imperial probe droid is active, target locked enemies can't gain buffs and have. Okay, there it is. So that's only. Oh, that's interesting. While Imperial probe droid is active, target locked enemies can't gain buffs and have a minus 25% evasion. So it's pretty much saying, screw you, Zol teams.
Well, yeah, not only that.
Yeah, anyone. I mean, just invasion and evasion in general, too. Just the fact that it's weird that they even have to put the target that is active thing in there anyway, because he wouldn't the target.
There's only one character that can do it, and that's him.
Yeah, and I guess you remain target locked after he does the self destruct. It just you'll be target locked and exposed.
Yeah, you'll still be exposed.
Yeah, but it's No, he's I like that they added in the droid ally stuff. So I think, again, this is just as we talked about prior, God knows what, 5 or 6 podcasts ago, when we were talking about BB-8. Eventually, they're going to make droids good again, and I think this is just another like him having some slight droid synergy is cool. But he's obviously for right now just. One of those, he's going to be a staple in your main Empire team for sure.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be a pain no matter what squad you put him in.
Like, yep. I will say this, of the three characters, I like Wampa Stompa the best, but Imperial Probe Droid is the biggest meta breaker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the one that you're most likely to see in high-level arena teams, I think, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, if this the thing I worry about is this character, if he becomes crazy popular in the meta, which I think he will, is it will bring back the Triple Cleanse team.
But that's okay. What old is new again. I think we... I don't care if some... What I didn't love Triple Cleanse, don't get me wrong. I actually now have Chirrut geared, so I could run it for the first time. But, like, I think what's nice, though, is... And what I want to see happen is sometimes you have to introduce things like this that directly counter a team, knowing that there's a counter to this team. Because then eventually you do start to develop that diverse meta that we've kind of always wanted, where, like, you'd have, like, four or five or six different leads in the top ten. Because that's you know, you're running, like, an Empire Thrawn lead with Probe Droid and, you know, I mean, there's stuff there that we're, you know, Krennic, there's stuff there that works really, really well. Similar to, the team that you run. I mean, you could probably put Probe Droid on there for somebody and it would still work really, really well.
And the problem with the Triple Cleanse, if you're worried about it coming back, you're still going to have to worry about Probe Droid. And because he can take out Baze instantly.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of the Triple Cleanse, is to keep Baze taunting.
Yeah, true. Maybe we'll see a rise in Jedi teams. I mean, if Rey is a Jedi...
Even though those Zeta Quagga is really the only viable lead for those teams
that
right
we
now,
know of right now. But, like, I mean, if you think of it this way, all this... Because, like, Wampa and... the Imperial Droid are all anti-rebel. They have anti-rebel this, anti-rebel that. Well, Jedi's aren't rebels. So,
how do you know she's going to be a rebel? Or, not, you know what I mean, Jedi.
A Jedi? Well, I hope she's not a Jedi.
I hope she's not either.
So, but I'm just saying, if she is, like, this could be a sign of, okay, well, we're sick of the rebel meta. And we want to get rid of it. And we want to move towards something else. Like, this is the kind of character they bring in to shake things up. Kind of like R2. Yes, R2 became amazing, but R2 was brought in to, essentially, to shake up the meta. Like, it took down Zol. For the most part. Like, it was the final nail in the coffin.
Sure, yes.
This is, I think, it might be a nail in the coffin of the CLS teams.
Yeah, I think it might. I don't think CLS himself will go away.
No.
But I could see people go away from, like, the full meta, like, Rebels and things like that. Yeah, they might not run him as lead anymore.
They
might go back to a Rex lead.
Yeah, CLS will turn into, will fall into the Nihilus Throne camp of just plug him into a team.
Yeah, because he'll work everywhere.
Yeah. So, any last thoughts on the Imperial Probe Droid? I think all of us are kind of in agreement that this character is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to go hard after him. I know Coleman is. Dave, you are.
Yep. I think all three characters are worth going after. I think they're all valuable. Maybe Wampa and Imperial Probe Droid, or you're going to see them more in Arena than you're ever going to see Stark. But Stark looks like he's going to be very good for Dark Side Territory battles. So
yes, I agree.
They should probably all be farmed.
Yep. So overall, I like all three characters, and I like that they're all three coming straight into non-marquee events.
Yep, you can get them all pretty much right away. I mean, not finish them, obviously, super quickly, but be able to get them and still work on them. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, well, perfect. That will take care of the three new characters. That went quicker than I actually thought it would.
Look at us. We're getting better at this.
Yeah, self high five to all of us. but we are not. Did I just hear self high five? Or was that a beer can opening?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe, I think it was a self-high-five.
Okay. I'm good with this. I'm okay with it. So that is part of what we're going over. I told you, this is like the largest thing that's ever happened to this year in the game. Largest patch.
This is big. This is huge.
So All right, so let's get to the sad part of the show. Like, think of, like, the sad, like, you're walking down, like, you're at a funeral procession, sad music playing in the movie.
Oh, I thought it was like a guy walking behind you with a trombone just go...
No, no. So, Make Mine a Double is not Hondo.
Hmm. Who are you?
I was crushed.
Yeah. You know what? I'll be honest. I read that, and I was sad for a second.
He's just a fun character. I just wanted him in the game. I love him, but I wanted him in the game because, one, he would have been good for the bounty hunters. But
He may still be coming,
but the Make Mine a Double tease is actually about double drops. So, in celebration of Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes' second anniversary, global double drops will be happening from 11:24 to 11:25. So, save your crystals, save your energy, save all of that for double drops coming in a couple days.
Yep.
Also, yay. Big announcement now.
Big announcement. Be sure to check your inbox on November 22nd, tomorrow, or when this will be released, for a special gift from Galaxy of Heroes team.
Woo!
I hope it's Clone Wars Chewbacca shards.
All right.
Yay, there's some history behind Clone Wars Chewbacca, so...
Alright, so Coleman, woo! Is your... Are you just going to say woo the whole time? Are you
The whole time. I'm just going to keep
you,
wooing.
Are you just a really weird Ric Flair fan? So, Coleman, alright, Chewy shards, is that your guess? What are they going to be giving us?
I think it's either going to be crystals and Clone Wars Chewbacca shards, because that seems to be the running thing. So it's like a running joke, almost, and I'd love to see, Clone Wars Chewbacca shard, at least, and just as, like, a gag. Like, here you go, I love it.
Oh, okay. Dave, what do you think it's gonna be?
So you and I chatted about this a little bit earlier. They're definitely gonna give us crystals. I would guess probably about, like, 500 would be my guess. I'd like to think they're going to give us like a Zeta or two, which would be really, really nice. Because they used to give Omegas sometimes when they'd screw up. So maybe
Omegas.
They'll probably give us some Omegas. Maybe they'll throw in a Zeta.
I want the Omega.
Zetas would be good too, though. Maybe you can give us both. But
I've got enough of those things.
Shut up.
My idea was it would be so nice of them on this anniversary to maybe decide
give us porgs.
Give us full character porgs, obviously, that are already gear 12.
I will murderball both of you.
I'm sorry. No, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I had to.
It would be cool if they gave if they just gave everybody like a full Carbonti, and like that is nothing. At the end of the day, that literally is nothing. It's one Carbonti. You need like a billion, but everyone would literally flood Reddit with excitement because they got a Carbonti, and like that's all it would take for CG to like get all this goodwill and be like, oh my god, they gave us, because people freak out when there's like a Carbonti as a reward in some of these events. So like,
and
if you just
that's true now.
Like full Carbonti, hey, thanks for being around for all these years. Here's one Carbonti, which is literally a drop in the bucket for as many as we all need. People would freak out. So my hope is that they give us some, you know. I feel like they're not going to give us character shards because, I mean, they might give us Chewy shards because that would be hilarious because you're right, that is a joke. But they're not going to give us real character shards because they just gave us a bunch of Kylo shards. I don't think they're going to do that again so quickly. Yeah. But I think crystals for sure, Omegas for sure, hopefully a Zeta or two, and then it would be cool if they gave some gear. That would be my ask
like,
for.
Like I said, even like 1 to 5 Clone Wars Chewbacca shards, and I'd be like laughing my butt off. I'd be happy.
Or if they gave you like one shard of every character in the game, that would be
that would be the greatest thing ever.
I'd be like, let's do it. Why not?
One shard of every character in the game. That's what they should do. I changed my mind. That's what they should do.
All right. So
I would love it. I would like run to every forum and Reddit boss and be like, it's the greatest thing
that's
ever.
Great. That's what I want. TJ, if you haven't already done it and you listen to this podcast, well, it won't even be up in time for you to listen to it.
Yeah.
But just know that you should do one character, one shard of every character. That would be the best. That's what you should do. All right. That's what you should do.
So here's my bold prediction. Bold. Well, I agree with you guys both. We're going to probably get about 500 crystals. Probably a Zeta. Sorry. I slipped. A Zeta. And maybe an Omega. But here's where I think they might get interesting. I'm going to go with, they will give everyone one free level 85 character.
No.
Really? One free.
No.
You can let, they will be like, you, here is a thing to move one character up to level 85.
So just the credits, or we'd be able, or gear them too?
No, not credits, not gear. Take any character you want, select it, and it will move it from whatever level it's at up to level 85.
But not their shards, though.
Not their shards.
So it could be a 2-star character.
It could be a 2-star character. It's up to you.
So essentially a free 6.6 mil.
Yes. Yeah. But without flooding the market. Because if they did that and gave us all the credits, most people would not spend the 6.6 million credits on leveling one character.
We're going to save it for like Ray and all that.
Yeah. Like, it's more like, all right, boost whoever you want up to level 85. This will not happen, but this is my out there theory.
Okay.
It could happen. One thing that I could see them actually giving us is a couple of gold mods each.
Oh, mods would be nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I could see.
Anything about gold mods.
But I think that we're going to get more for the anniversary than just crystals and a Zeta and maybe some Omegas. I think we're going to get more than just that.
It's been quite a year, so.
Yeah. No, what they're going to do is they're going to break down the crystals we get from the anniversary into events once every 6 months. You have to, 6 weeks, you have to log on to get that 6-week portion of the crystals that you are going to get to follow the cadence.
Cadence
of anniversary gift. No?
I had an idea. I still want character shards, but I'll take Mother Talzin shards.
See, now you're just being greedy. Now you just want shards for characters you're grinding.
Yeah,
I'm not even grinding them. I haven't touched my Mother
Talzin. Like, hey, I could use some short trooper shards. Yeah? Eh? No?
With Talzin going to chromiums, though, chromiums right now wouldn't be the worst gamble in the world.
No, they probably wouldn't. So
there's like a lot of characters in there that you can't get any other way right now that are valuable for the first time in a long time, in my personal opinion.
Yep. Yeah.
Even for people that have been established in the game, it's still a terrible value, but, like, you know, anyway.
Yeah. Before we get into the shard shuffle, one other thing that's coming with the anniversary, the second anniversary, is starting tomorrow, the 22nd, for a limited time, you get 25% more crystals on select crystal bundles you buy. This, I think, was almost a given. They seem to do this for every big event. So if you're ever going to buy that $100 pack, now's the perfect time to do it. You're going to get 25% more crystals.
Which is a lot.
Yeah. I've actually bought one $100 pack in my Swagga life, and it was during the last of one. May the 4th, I think.
Oh, yeah, May the 4th.
May the 4th. And I used that to gear up Chase and Baruch for up to gear 11. So I was happy with it.
Yeah.
So next we're going to talk about the shard shuffle. So we all already talked that Mother Talzin is going to be going into Chromium packs. In addition, the PvP PvE shipment tables have been updated, so there will be wider array of gear, characters, blueprints.
Whoa. You're missing two very important people.
I was getting the rest of the stuff out of the way first.
You almost made my heart not skip a beat.
Calm your shit. Okay. Here's the part that is causing Reddit, and we all know Reddit is the most sane group of people of all time.
Super sane. Always held themselves.
Level-headed,
really well.
don't overreact, say nothing but positive Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
But Smuggler, Chewbacca, and Han are going to be coming to Cantina nodes 8F and 8G. Yes, those are 16 Cantina energy nodes.
So, hold on. What's the big complaint here? They're free.
They're free, but they're like the hardest free.
Sith Trooper, Sith Assassin, Death Trooper. There's another one in there. I can't remember quite who it is.
Krennic. Not Krennic. Gar Saxon. Imperial Super Commando. Yeah,
Captain Han was a 16 energy node.
Yeah. I didn't hear much complaining about that, but oh my god, all of a sudden the Spadron Smug is going to the world explodes.
It's because everybody's worried you're going to need them for Rey.
Exactly.
And they're worried that they won't be able to get them in time because everyone wants to get Rey. Because Rey's going to be just like CLS was, and if you don't have him, you're going to want to kill yourself.
I'm sorry, we still have plenty of time. We're not even in December yet. Maybe.
We don't know that. We don't really know how much time we have.
Right? Like, they announced Darkseid Territory Battles 2 days before it went live.
this should come as no surprise. They released these guys randomly.
I don't think anyone's surprised. I think people like to just complain. They should have known this was coming. I think the good thing, though, is with all of the stuff that they put in this update, there's no way that Rey comes before another, like, 2 or 3 weeks at the earliest.
I'm a firm believer that I don't think she comes before the end of the year. Because you can't, like, let's say she's Jedi. You cannot spoil the movie.
No.
You have to give people at least 2 weeks to see the movie before you start spoiling it in mass media like this. It's either going to become beginning of January. Or if they follow the cadence of releasing stuff on holidays, it's going to be available on Christmas Day and Christmas Day only.
Which we have double drops coming up too. So.
Yeah. So,
and that's only, but that I think the delay like that though is only important if her kit were to spoil something with like the Jedi tag.
Yeah, if she comes out with a Jedi tag, that spoils.
It does.
Because I mean, I don't know if you guys saw they released a new teaser trailer today.
If it came out today, I didn't see it.
They released a new teaser trailer, like what are you going to choose? Light side, dark side, or other? So, like, if they label her as Jedi, then that just was like, well, all right, she chooses Jedi.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. It's a fair point.
So I don't think she's going to be coming till end of December, early January. That's my prediction.
That's very fair. Yes.
Which isn't enough time to farm them both through this.
In 2 weeks, no, you don't have enough time.
Even if it's in a month, it's still technically not enough time. It takes like 48 days to finish a 16 energy node character.
Yeah, with like what, 6 refreshes a day or 3 refreshes?
Three. The drop rate sucks and it takes forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Double drops to speed it up, though.
Double drops for 2 days. Speed
it up a little bit, but it's just 2 days, yeah. So you're only going to cut a day or two off, but still.
And there's already, like, 30 different freaking Cantina node farms. Stop putting stuff in Cantina nodes.
They know what they're doing. They know why they're doing it. They want people to spend.
But you can only spend so much.
They're in Cantina. I'm glad they didn't go to shipments or, like, guild store.
I mean, if they were in Guild Store, you'd probably have a better shot.
To be in the store. Well, maybe not Guild Store, because that like, revolves a little bit, but if they put them in, like, one of the shipments, he'll be excited.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I'm glad they're free to earn. I just, yeah. It all, like, all of this depends on if or when the Rey Hero's Journey occurs. If Rey's Hero Journey starts in 2 weeks, this is kind of crap. Like, they did not give enough time to farm these two characters in the same mode that you need to have to get Rey.
Well, hopefully that's not the case.
Hopefully it's not, but...
And already, what does it matter to you? You don't have BB-8.
I was actually going to spend money to get First Order up. To get
BB-8. All you need is just Zeta Kylo.
Well, that and the rest of them at 7 stars.
Yeah.
Like, but it's the rest of them at 7 stars thing. Because, I mean, I have all of them at gear, like, 9, I want to say. Okay. 9 or higher for all my First Order team. It's just they're not at 7 stars.
Mm-hmm. All right.
See? I'm not that bad. So, All right, so after that whole kerfuffle, first time I've used that word on this podcast is kerfuffle. They said packs and bundles are going to be coming soon. This is a change from if you watch any of the videos. On the videos, they actually had prices of what they're going to be. I think I saw the Imperial Super Droid, or Imperial Droid, for $9.99. You could unlock them. Something like that, but they're not giving any of that stuff out. They added the guild officer tools, which we've already gone over previously, so that stuff's all going into that. Now, they did make some other time-saving changes. With all these additions, they've done something to save us all time. The big one is Galactic War difficulty. So what they did is they currently scale the difficulty of Galactic War opponents with the player's best squad. However, only scale rewards up to level 85. So now they're going to be capping the difficulty of opponent squads around the power of players who have just reached level 85. So this makes Galactic War crazy easy for people who have been playing for a while. So if you have if you've broken Node 12, Galactic War is going to get infinitely easier for you.
It's going to break Node 11 for a lot of people.
I mean, I don't even know if it's going to break it anymore, because I don't think they're going to be using it off your... It won't break any nodes, because they're not going to be basing it off your power anymore. They're basing it off the power of the average level 85 player.
Yeah, with your own power being super. It fix 12, but now it'll just be a crappy team?
Yeah, like node 9, 10, 11, and 12 will kind of be like node 4, 5, 6.
Like, yeah. I like how they call us elder players, though.
Yeah,
that was interesting. I was like,
I love this.
Like, yes,
I'm a swag elder.
Yeah. From what I read from this, is they're making Galactic War something that you can beat consistently right when you hit level 85. But they're not going to increase the power as you get higher power characters. Mm-hmm. That's how I see it.
Not just beat consistently, but like auto. Like you can auto.
Yeah, like we'll be able to auto.
We're going to be able to auto it. You can put in a CLS meta squad, the Thrawn and whatever, and just hit auto and it'll beat the whole thing.
Resistance. Yeah.
I'll just throw in my Imperials.
Yeah, anything with some survivability, just throw it in there, hit auto, you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So,
which will save us a lot of time.
I love this change. Love it to death. Great change. The challenge timers, we saw this on the beta. They changed it. It was reduced from 10 minutes to 2 minutes. So no big deal there. Then they changed some of the daily activity requirements. One does not bother people who are above level 40 where training a character and equipping a piece of gear are now an activity. But for us, most of us at level 85, the daily for upgrading a mod will be available from a player level 50 to 59. So it shouldn't be available. It's no longer going to be a daily activity for us. But when those dailies are removed, the rewards you would have gotten are now added to the daily activities completion. So basically, they're just giving you the reward for doing upgrading a mod daily without having to do it. Yeah. So, saves you. I mean, it wasn't a long thing, but
it was kind of a pain to go find a mod and go hit upgrade.
It was the one I always forgot about.
Yeah, it was one I didn't always think about.
Yeah. I mean, the next thing on here is polish. Did you guys read over this, see anything we should go over?
Push notification. Players will receive a push notification when a territory battle or territory war is available. So yeah. That'll be pretty nice.
Especially the two
territory war.
The two I liked, the grouping status effects is great, obviously, so you don't have like a screen full of debuffs anymore. That should be nice.
And a number will appear above it.
Yeah, that's awesome. The saving combat mission progress is great, so it'll score and add your score as it goes through the combat mission. So if you crash during it, you won't lose all of your score, just whatever wave you crashed in.
That's huge.
Yeah, that's gigantic. Mm-hmm. I think that's really, really smart because just obviously they've been having crashing issues. But I think the one I like the best, and this might seem dumb, but again, I think it just helps people like not screw up, is people had, I think before, sometimes would miss using the abilities. So, to ensure all players notice the active platoon ability button in combat, it has been removed near the other attack abilities. So he's moved it across the screen. So people can like have that next to their move so they don't forget to use it because it's super helpful. So okay. I like that. Yeah.
Especially in that Rogue One mission.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The Rogue One mission I get through like
I've forgotten to use it just because I'm trying to go through it. And I'm like, oh shit, I should have just used that. That would have really helped me. And like now it'll be over by your move set, so it'll be harder to forget.
It's like, oh hey, I'm right in your face. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
After that, I mean, I'm not going to go through all of these. There's just a crap load of bugs that got fixed.
But let me look through and make sure I'm not missing anything. The characters one.
A lot of it has to revolve around guild stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of it has to revolve around multiple phase stuff. Just running through this.
This is a fun one. If Hermit Yoda was the last unit in the opponent's Galactic War team and escapes from the battle, the player could not progress.
Oh my god.
That must have been infuriating.
I would have been so mad.
Wait, is that a real thing?
Yeah.
Actually happened?
That's one of the bug fixes.
God, so it's like it was like in perpetuity he would just auto escape, but they would like bring you back to Hermit Yoda still being there by himself,
and then he just escaped.
Why did they fix that? That would have been great. I wish they kept that. That would have been like, you would have just hoped you didn't get Hermit Yoda teams ever. It's just like, because it would ruin your Galactic War. Oh, that's so good.
Let's
why
see
didn't that happen to
anybody? Another one. Oh, pending guild invites were counting towards the guild's galactic power. Eesh, that seems like it could be broken.
I guess that makes... I guess that's dumb. Yeah, that doesn't seem like that needs to be the case.
Here's one I wish they didn't fix. For Android users, using the back button while promoting a unit will no longer cause the game to crash. You're an Android user, and you have the benefit of the beta. I hope your game does crash.
I have one that was a really big problem for a few people that were kind of infuriated with it. Ships could become unselectable due to ships swaying in front of each other. This is not 100% fixed, but it's vastly improved.
It's not 100% fixed? Okay.
Nope.
Fair enough.
We'll see how it goes.
All right. Okay. So the last thing, the one everyone loves to speculate about, is what's ahead.
Yes, what's ahead.
What's
this
ahead?
This is easy, though. This is easy.
Well, we thought the last one was easy and weird.
No,
sure,
this
shit,
is,
we're
this
wrong.
Was
this was a gimme.
I hope you're all wrong.
No, we're definitely
so
right.
What's ahead? Right. The belonging you seek is not behind you. It is ahead.
Yes.
It is a quote.
It is a quote.
Dave, who is it a quote from?
Maz says that to Ray.
Yes, Maz Kanata.
So who do you think it would be?
Ray. This is Ray's journey. This is
really?
What it's talking. Yes, 100%. 100%. Talking about Ray's journey. I have been wrong about this what's ahead before. 100%.
I think we all have.
I really do not think I'm wrong at all about this. It's because we're not getting Maz. Because it doesn't make sense to introduce new light side characters right now. This is Ray's journey,
but
100%.
You're talking about introducing a new light side character.
No, I know, but I mean, like, but we know
just saying.
We know Ray's coming. I mean, additional characters to Ray, who we know is coming. But we, like, this is the belonging you seek is not behind you. It is ahead. That means you're striving for something. You're moving for something to try to figure out who you are. You're going to go on your journey. Like, it makes way too much sense. The next big update will have Ray's journey in it, 100%. And let's just hope it's not for 2 weeks, though. That's all.
All
right. Because once the update comes, then there'll be, like, a week at least before it starts.
Okay, so I'm reading into this, and I'm biting what you're saying. But
okay.
If it's a Maz Kanata thing, I think it points to the journey being something along the lines of what Luke's was, which we kind of all expected, but being
right.
The battle at her, I don't know if you want to call it a bar, at her bar.
Castle,
whatever. And if that's the case, to me that makes it seem like it's more probable than Millennium Falcon's needed. Because if you're going through all of that, and you're saying, okay, we're quoting her for the Rey's journey, that means that's probably going to be what the fight is based around. If the fight is based around all that, you cannot have one without the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
You want to agree with me, but you don't want me to be right.
No, I mean, you're not the first person to bring up that the Millennium Falcon could be necessary for that battle. I just think, oh, God, I don't, man, Reddit's going to be unbearable if that happens.
Dude, Reddit already is unbearable.
It is unbearable, and I don't go as much as I used to, but oh, man, will that be, whew. Oh, man. I can't imagine how mad people would be if they require the Falcon, which is hard note only, and 80 shards unlock.
Man, just think. I'm sitting here with a 7-star shuttle, a 6-star Falcon. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Sorry. I got distracted. I was thinking about, like, what this fight would be like. I'm also thinking, okay, so if you guys saw on Reddit, I sent this to you guys earlier, they also showed a new Millennium Falcon in an advertisement for the game. What if the new Millennium Falcon is required?
The new Millennium Falcon.
Like, if there's a new Millennium Falcon, and it's required for Rey's journey.
No. Why would it
no.
Be? Oh, you mean, like, the new one from Episode 8?
Yes.
That's the one we haven't. Oh, yeah, yeah.
No, we don't.
Well, you know, if they're going to require the new Millennium Falcon from Episode 8, then you know who else would be required?
Chewie.
Oh, and the Porg.
No.
The Porg.
The Porg was not around when the battle at Maz's occurred.
No, but you don't know.
No, but you're saying episode.
Yeah, you're saying you're bringing the new.
Sorry, I'm thinking more along the lines of the one from when they leave Maz's.
Oh, but that's the one that Rey and Finn are already. That's the one that they're driving now in the game.
When they left, it was. Wasn't it Chewie?
All I'm trying to say is Porgs are
coming. Porgs are coming, man. With Wampa, it's gonna be a devastating.
I will delete my game.
Porgs are coming. You know what's hilarious is we are gonna get a Porg before we get Hondo. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel like CG is punishing me.
Maybe they are.
They probably are, man.
Yeah.
Let's face it.
Yeah.
That makes
sense. Porgs will come to the game and I'll get mine geared 12 day one just for you.
All right, you do that.
Yeah.
You do that.
Porg.
You Ewok
loving. Out of my way.
You Ewok loving bastard.
How dare you?
Yep. Are you going to do the same with Jar Jar when he comes in the game? By the way, he does need to be in this game at some point. I'm just throwing that out there. As much as the fans may hate him, he still needs to be in this game.
He needs to be Darth Jar Jar.
Okay, maybe not Darth Jar Jar. Maybe just regular Jar Jar.
I don't know. It's got to be Darth.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, we're getting off topic again. Do you guys have anything else you wanna mention about all this plethora of stuff that's come out?
No, it's a lot for people. I said it earlier, I want to say it again. Everybody take a deep breath. Every time there's a big update like that, everybody freaks out. Take a deep breath. Bounty hunters are doable. Troopers are doable. You can get it done. Everybody just... I know if you're still working on your light side teams, it seems like this is too much at once, and I get that. But... Territory Wars is just something you can do with your current roster the best you can. Don't think too much of it. Just have fun with it.
Yeah, it's actually pretty quick.
Yeah, Darkseid Territory Battles is going to be tough, but it's okay. Just take a deep breath.
They said it's harder than Lightseid, so be ready for a battle.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you suck at the first one, that's okay. Everyone falls into this, crap, I have to have 6 good teams right away. No, you don't. Just use what you have, figure out the best teams you want to, look at the gear needed, find the most efficient way to farm them, and then just, do it calmly. That's the big thing, because, everybody freaks out when these big updates come through, and it ends up being not as bad as we all thought, and, it's all doable. Just take a deep breath. That would be my final thing to say.
Yeah. Now, I will add one thing. I think, and we don't know the reward tables yet, but one thing...
they're still adjusting them, apparently.
Yeah, one thing I could see them doing is not really adjusting the rewards tables, just adding 3 more levels on the top. And that gives you that feel of progression. Reward
territory wars? Or
for territory battles, I mean. Sorry.
Okay,
for territory battles. So, because you can now get 48 stars instead of 45.
I think they'll do that.
So, everyone kind of gets an extra 3... free stars to feel that sense of progression.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I like that.
So and then they'll change the same for the light side, I think too, because then no one's going to want to do light side and everyone's going to want to do dark side. But I think that's, they're going to be their form of, okay, this is going to make that feel that much better, to give everyone kind of those 3 extra stars to boost them up from where they were at. That I could see them doing.
Okay. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah. No one will actually change how well they're doing. You just get better rewards through this. Through that, method. So.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that is probably it for this wonderful episode. So the episode before Thanksgiving, we thought was going to be like, you know, a quick 30, 40 minute episode. Did not turn out to be that at all.
There's no way.
And it could have gone, honestly, if we got into Territory Wars again, it could have gone for like another hour. So you can all thank us for not doing that. We'll be back with that next week.
Yes.
So hopefully we gave you some travel, something while you're traveling to listen to.
Yeah, hopefully, I think
yes.
We have it long enough where it's like, okay, this is good for a car ride, because if it was any longer, I'd have to take a plane ride.
Yes, listen to the podcast while you drive. Do not
play.
No playing and driving.
Please don't swag and drive.
Yes.
No swag and driving, no platooning and driving. I don't want to hear about anybody that was platooning and driving. I don't want to hear about
this. It's just day one. Everyone can handle it. It's just day one. Yes.
Okay.
You can all platoon while the Lions lose.
Ah, no, the Lions need to win, man.
No, screw that. They're in the NFC North. They have to lose.
No, Lions need... No, but they're playing the Vikings, so what's the difference?
Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah. Can there be a tie?
Yeah.
I want there to be a tie.
But that wouldn't help you.
No, but it would piss off both their fan bases, which is a win in my book.
Ties are fine with me. I just want the Vikings to either get a loss or a tie would be good news for me, at least.
Yeah, tie. I'm going for a tie.
Right. So I guess if we're ending this right?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so to everyone out there in America, happy Thanksgiving, and to everyone in the world, happy SWOG anniversary.
Yes.
Happy SWOG anniversary.
Happy SWOG anniversary to everyone.
Everybody be safe. Have a lovely holiday.
Yes.
Both of you guys, enjoy your holiday.
Yep. I will, one thing I have to say before we go, because I have to do this at the end of every episode. If you want to reach out to us, we do have a Discord, which I will include with the show notes, and is on top of our Twitter channel, which is at RFA Podcast on Twitter. Reach out to us. Come join us. There's Porg memes up the wazoo against my best wishes. If it continues, I'm going to ban memes from being posted.
And I'll read.
But come join us. It's good times. We have fun. Harass. All that fun jazz. And like these guys said, everyone have a wonderful Thanksgiving. To you, Dave. To you, Coleman. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, whether it's turkey or ahi tuna, pineapple stuffed macadamia nuts with Kona coffee.
Hey, might be sipping a pina colada on the beach for Thanksgiving, for all I know.
Yeah, your Thanksgiving's better than mine, then. All right, everyone, have a good night.
Good night.